Hello and welcome back to Well Talk, where today we're going to be talking about setting achievable goals for 2024. And to help me do that, we welcome Justin Maguire, the co-founder of MCG Talent. Thank you so much for joining us, Justin.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Now, we're approaching 2024. A lot of people have big plans a lot of the time. What mistakes do you see people making when setting the benchmark for the next year?
The classic mistake I see people making when they're setting their plans for 2024 is that they just make too big a plan. They don't actually set themselves something that is achievable, realistic. And what happens in that sense is they give up on their plans way too early.
Exactly. If I'm going to compare it to anything, I think I'm going to compare it to losing weight. So saying like, I want to get a promotion or I want to get a new job or I want to start my own business. That's like saying I want to lose weight and they try too many things all at the same time without breaking it down. Like, whereas it should be more of, I should go for more walks. I should eat fewer calories. I should start going to the gym one at a time until I can achieve that. So what kind of like achievable goals should people start thinking about before the big picture?
Well, what you just explained there is a combination of things people need to do in order to get the outcome of losing weight. I think that's it. People are looking for, too often people are looking for quick wins. And actually, even in your career, if you want to go for that promotion, look at ways in which you can break yourself down to get to that promotion. Try and see what you can do. You know, ask your boss, for example, what you need to do to get to that promotion, and then take each and every point of what that is and break it down into chunks and make that your goal.
So you're a boss, you're an employer. Would you say that is a good thing to go to your boss and be like, I want this promotion. What can I do? Or do you think it's too eager?
I absolutely love it. If someone comes up to you and says they want to do better for your business and ask for your advice how to do that, that is a dream employee. You should do everything you do to look after you. You should wrap them up in cotton wool. And if they actually start doing all the things that you tell them, you hold on to them even harder.
Well, I do need to ask. I don't know if it's in the same theme of achievable goals, but I know a lot of the younger generation, a lot of people nowadays, they've been seeing a pattern for the past few decades from certain employers that it used to be like, work harder, go above and beyond, and you'll be rewarded. And they notice that they work harder, they go above and beyond. And for that same reason, their bosses usually keep them where they are because they can get more output without paying them as much, without moving them. So do you think people should have and they've sort of gotten the mindset of, I'm not going to do any more than is required of me. What do you think about that whole situation?
Yeah, I think let's talk about Dubai in particular, right? Because I think a lot of people move to Dubai to advance their career. But actually what they do is they look at advancing it and blitzing through as many jobs as they can, not necessarily settling and actually looking at a bit of a smash and grab opportunity. Whereas a big advice I get people to, especially those that move to Dubai, is that go find a good employer, stay with them for a long time. Don't just think about getting the next dirham round the corner, but actually if you put in some longevity, you'll actually, well, I think, build a really, really long-term sustainable career. And people will respect the fact that you've stayed with someone for so long. Don't just look at the, you know, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months in moving jobs. Actually look for some longevity in that.
Yeah, definitely. And as an employer yourself, and obviously you deal in recruitment, you deal with a lot of people. What sort of specific advice would you give for people to advance their careers? Is it putting in more hours necessarily?
Yeah.
Or is it what they do during those hours that's more important?
Well, I've never met a successful person that doesn't work hard. So you've got to definitely work hard and put in the hours. And I think the nature of coming out here, a lot of people that realize that, you know, it's a hard work mentality. People do work long hours here. So first, I just take it for granted, you're going to have to work hard. I think flexibility, if you've got an employer that offers you flexibility, so that ability to work from home or the ability to work from office, that will make that a little bit easier. So that's something to bear in mind. But the best advice I can give to people is to find a really good employer, take references on them and don't rush. A lot of people rush into the wrong role here in Dubai. And so, really look at Glassdoor reviews, for example, or ask around. This is a village. You're always one person removed from someone who knows someone.
Is it ever a good idea as an employee to challenge the management on something? Like, as you said, it's good as an employer to offer flexibility, to offer work from home, just be a little bit more chilled out, if you will. If your employer's not like that, is it ever a good idea to keep bringing it up and sort of being maybe even annoying about it?
Yeah, well, look, I get to hear from people that work in all sorts of different places. So I think, and this is, I haven't got stats to back this up, but what I tend to find is with SMEs, you tend to find when you've got access and direct access to the owner, they tend to be a bit more open to ideas that the employee's got to throw in. When you're in a big corporate and a big machine,
when you go straight to your line manager,
yeah, it's and their voice might not even go above, you know, go to the CEO. It kind of gets lost in the ether. So I guess it depends on the type of business that you work for.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. So now let's say you're somebody who does understand the different things you need to do to get to where you want to get.
Yeah.
How do you sort of know that you're doing too much? Because people can suffer from burnout. People can go too hard and it becomes unsustainable. How do you know when you're going too far?
Yeah, I think you've got to listen to yourself. I've seen it with my own staff, and I've actually had to say to them, look, don't come in tomorrow or take your holiday. I look at people's holiday allocation quite often as well. And sometimes we'll get to November, December, and I think they've used like a quarter of their allocation. It's, you know, that means that they've really not given themselves enough time to reflect and think about what they need to do outside of work. Because if you don't have a harmonious life outside of work, you're going to eventually suffer from burnout within work. Work can't be the only thing that you think about 24/7. Some people have families, of course. Other people have just arrived here, and you know, and that's all they really think about. Or they've got new friendship groups that they enter into. But you can't let yourself become obsessed with work all the time, because you're going to run into problems.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll suffer from burnout, and you might not even achieve what you wanted. Or you can achieve what you want and realized that you missed out on a lot of stuff on the way as well.
Yeah, you'll have actually achieved the success you want and look quite miserable with it.
Exactly. You can't take it with you.
Yeah.
Now let's look at the complete opposite of that, because before we started recording, you actually said you see it a lot where people come to Dubai specifically and start to become complacent. Can you give us a few examples?
Yeah, I've seen this a lot with people that I've employed, and I've seen it. I think I've been in the UAE for 15 years. I think each cohort, if you want to call it that, you see this happen all the time. You see people that come in with great intentions, and all of a sudden they see the sunshine, they see the beach clubs, the beach bars, people having a good time, particularly if it's tourist season, and they forget that they've come here to work.
Yeah.
And so they end up lost on the beach and having spent several thousand dirhams along the way. And next thing I know, within 2-3 years, you know, they're now in a position where they've got credit card debts, cars on finance, and their career has stagnated, or they've probably worked in 3-4 jobs and not taken advantage of the opportunities in front of them.
Yeah, do you think it's sort of a mental thing where they've come from somewhere where these things weren't accessible? Suddenly they're in Dubai, it's a place where there's always stuff going on, especially when the weather's nice. They can drive in cars, live in houses, experience things that they were never able to, and they just get sort of lost in that.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the word discipline, doesn't it? I think it's a lot of people come here and they lose their discipline. Or that perhaps they weren't very disciplined in the first place, and Dubai has just opened up like a jack in the box, opened up the old Pandora's box of demons that, you know, that they're then letting out. It's actually something I find that's quite scary about Dubai, is how quickly people can get carried away with the lifestyle. How people can see, you know, a Rolls Royce Phantom and think, you know, before they've even done anything with their career, that's something that they should, that's accessible to them because of the credit card limits that they've got on their own cards.
Exactly. Massive credit card limits, which seems like, I'll pay it off. And then suddenly you can't. And these are two examples, I think, of being extreme. And I think they're both also examples of being the opposite of well-being. So to you as an employer, as someone that deals in recruitment, what do you think of when you think of employee well-being?
So what I think of with employee well-being is, first of all, I'm a big advocate of people looking after themselves. So that'd be that movement, going to the gym, sort of getting some sort of routine into their life where they're physically moving. Because a lot of people don't realise this, who don't live in the UAE, but you go from your apartment or your house into your car, into your office. You probably deliver your lunch and then you go back, you know, you go back home the same way. You've probably done hardly any steps. And so I always try and encourage people to move as much as possible. The other thing is try and have a life outside, be that pick up your hobbies. There's so many sports clubs, so many activities to do here. Like, it's a great way of meeting people as well. So we're always very keen on pushing people to get involved in that. And the other thing is, I mean, Dubai has a tremendous outdoors lifestyle, and you're geographically located to so many wonderful places. Go and take advantage of that as well.
It does depend on the season.
Yes, yes. Well, but you can get on, I mean, Emirates or Fly Dubai pretty much go anywhere, right? So depending on the season, you can go somewhere that's going to at least give you a form of escape.
That is true. Now, we are talking about setting achievable goals, and it doesn't always mean, in my opinion, ways to get better in work or reach higher levels in work. It could mean your goal is, I want to have more time with my family. I want to have more time for myself. Let's say you're working hard, you're doing a good job, but your boss is demanding too much of you. How do you set a healthy boundary with your employer when it comes to your free time?
Well, I think first of all, you've got to choose your employer carefully. If there's an employer out there that doesn't respect the fact that you need free time, that's when, you know, as a recruitment advisor and I would say it to my friend, I think you need to probably assess where you're working. Because if an employer doesn't get that you need a life outside of work in order to enjoy work better, then I don't think that's going to be the right employer. So there's that. From a business perspective, I think you need to just set those boundaries very clear and respect what the employee needs. And I think as well, like, for example, I actually was, when I was about in my early 30s, I realised that I was working so hard that I hadn't put enough time aside to meet the next potential Mrs. Maguire, right? Yeah. So I actually had to put some time aside in order to do that. And I see that with some employees, that they get so focused on work that I've had to tell them, go on, go out and go
out. Fall in love.
Yeah, fall in love. Just to do something outside of work that's going to be your support network, that's going to be your distraction. Because we do need those distractions in a very busy life.
Yeah, because these things are important, to have boundaries, to have balance. Do you think it's acceptable for someone in their job to be like, you know what, I've reached a certain level of management, there is higher up to go, I could make partner, but I don't want to. I want to keep doing this job, I'm happy with it, I've achieved what I need, I'm making enough money, I want to focus on the other part of my life. Do you think that's healthy for some people to do?
I think, well, it depends how you, to an employer, it probably depends how you relay that message. Yeah. If it's, you know, I think I'm doing really well right now, I'm going to focus on other things, you might get some pushback.
Yeah, probably.
So I think you've got, that's something that you've got to acknowledge yourself. I think don't forget what's got you to being successful in the first place. And also, this is a highly competitive market. So if you take your foot off the pedal in any way, then, you know, there's a chance you may lose that edge that you've got. What you've got to do is you've got to try and find balance. You've got to try and find a good support network. You've got to, if you're working really well for your business and what you're producing is of top quality, well, then you might need to hire in more people to help you grow and also to give you some more free time as well. So there's a strategy that you need to put behind it.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to bring up a subsection of most businesses that I don't feel get enough sympathy, and that is line managers. So they're not at the top of the pyramid. They have several bosses above them, and they also have people working below them. And I feel like they're the ones that have to deliver the bad news. They're the ones who have to make people work late. So they get a little bit of pushback from the employees. Then they go to their bosses and like, my employees aren't happy because of such and such. And the bosses aren't doing what they need to do to allow them to help their employees. What advice do you give them when it comes to mental well-being? Because I think it's a very difficult, stressful position to be in.
Yeah, I think if you're a sales manager, a hiring manager, a manager of sorts, that they've got really tough jobs because they've got their own targets that they have to deliver on. They're normally very hands-on, and they've got the team underneath them as well. So I would say 100% to that person, they've got to get, I mean, for me, consistency is something that I'd always look at. I'm a person of routine. I can only really speak for what works for me in here. And that's what I try and relay on to our sales managers is, if you get a routine in place, if you know when you're doing your health and wellness, if you know that you're eating well, if you know that you put time aside for your own personal work, then for your team's work, inevitably with that routine, a perfect repeatable week is what will get you in the best mental state.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because it is tough. I don't think I could ever have subordinates because, you know, giving them bad news and then receiving the hate when it wasn't even your decision has got to be really tough. So what would you tell employees to look out for when it comes to their line manager to maybe give them some slack?
I think you need to look at what sort of life your line manager leads, because if your line manager comes into work looking hungover, looking tired, has, you know, talks about their social life or their personal life in a fashion that doesn't make it seem particularly aspirational, you're probably going to have some problems there.
Yeah, definitely. So we've taken your advice. We want to make achievable goals. We're going to break it down. We want to have a healthy but successful work and home life. How do we start out? What's the plan? What's the development plan? What would you tell people to go home after watching this and do?
Right. So I'm a big fan of what I said, the perfect repeatable week. So I would look, you know, let's be honest though, we've got to put some bandwidth in because no week is the same. But if it's, you know, perhaps you're a morning person, so get to the gym in the morning, go and try and do some exercise before you go into work. Make sure you eat well. Make sure you're laying off like rubbish, sugary foods in the morning, so you're not like crashing about 11 o'clock. Don't be completely reliant on coffee, because if you feel at 11 o'clock you need a coffee, that's probably not the right thing. You know, that's probably your body actually saying you're not being fed the right thing. So nutrition, health and wellness, set achievable goals within work. So look at actually where you want to go in that business. Look at the clients you want to, if you're looking after a set of clients, look at the clients you want to keep happy. Look at the business that you want to grow if it's within sales, and break it down into small bites. If you accompany those small achievements in your professional life with a healthy social life, not an alcoholic social life, but a healthy social life and a routine, you're going to be finding the right balance. But of course that works for different individuals. But for me, it's a person of routine. That's what fixes it for me.
When it comes to employee, employer well-being in the office, do you think it's best to separate your personal friends with your work friends? Or do you think it actually works better in the workplace to be both?
I can say this as a boss. I don't often think that people are completely straight with me when I ask them how they're doing, because they're afraid to give a straight answer. So I think normally you need to identify a couple of people within the office that their colleagues will feel comfortable opening up to. And I find often from them, you'll get the right answer. There are some, look, there are some people that naturally, when they've got problems going on at home, and particularly out here, when I sponsor my staff, you know, that I am, you know, they will have an honest chat with me about. But some of the more mental burnout situations, perhaps some of the small niggly things at home, perhaps some of the relationship problems that people are having, it's quite rare that they open up to their boss about that. But quite often you can identify a couple of colleagues within the office that they will feel very comfortable speaking with. And I'm always like, I talk a lot about, when I'm quite a vulnerable boss, I'm not too sure, but I'm very happy to talk about the good, the bad and the ugly of work life and my home life. And I feel if I do that, then my staff feel more comfortable doing that. But still, even with that attitude, I know there's quite a few that hold back from telling me some of the cobwebs in the closet that are going on at home. And everyone has them, right? So best advice I can give to an employer and to a hiring manager is perhaps identify a couple of people within their team that the staff will gravitate towards. And you'll be able to spot those people. Quite often those people are quite friendly, outgoing. They're the first to put their arm around someone. And that's the person that could be a great assistant to you in that.
So when do you know it's the right time to walk away, and when you're being too sensitive? If you're in a workplace and you've gotten to the point where I'm just not happy, I haven't been enjoying it, and I tried to make achievable goals to get into a better place at work, but this is just not making me happy. When do you know that you've reached that point and you're not just being lazy or sensitive?
Well, what normally the reasons why people come to us and I'll say they want to leave a job, they're normally in the Middle East in particular, is because they've hit a glass ceiling. So there's literally nowhere for them to go. So the only way they can get a promotion is if, you know, their boss leaves or something happens to them. People, you know, the high cost of living, quite often they've had a chat with their manager. That manager's not given the opportunity to earn more money. So unfortunately, they've had to look elsewhere. Also, people leave bad bosses. I think there's a statistic that 82% really reasons why people leave is because they don't like their line manager. So if you find that person is a blocker for you, and you just don't see eye to eye, then that's a big motivation to move as well.
Yeah, and yeah, so when you feel like that is the stage, then it's time to move on.
For what we do, if someone's come to us and they want to move job and they've literally been there for under a year, well, often, even though it probably goes against the financial rewards that we would gain as a business, we'll recommend that they review that, because again, going back to a point we mentioned earlier, the amount of people that can tarnish and ruin their careers here by just looking for the next buck without actually giving it proper consideration, that can work against them. So I would say you've got to really, if you've spoken to your line manager, or if you've had a chat with colleagues and you really think that there is nowhere to go from this, then ultimately, yeah, you should look for a new job. But don't just throw in the towel so soon.
Yeah, I mean, I have told people, like family members of mine that worked really bad jobs, I was like, just quit. just quit. Even if you haven't got another job lined up, just quit. Do you think that's good advice? Or do you think you do need to have a plan? You need to have your foot on another boat before you leave your workplace?
Just quitting without putting up a fight goes against everything. I mean, I think resilience is something that most, if you look at a key ingredient that most successful people in business have, it's the fact that they're resilient. Now, I'm not saying that they should just, you know, take a fist in the face every day and just take it for the sake of it.
Yeah.
But the reality is business is hard. You know, if you want to succeed in work, it's not just going to be given to you on a plate. It's a deeply competitive market. You know, there are no weeks going to be perfect. No day's going to be great. You're going to have customers that are going to upset you. You're going to have colleagues that are going to upset you. You're going to have line managers that are going to upset you. So understand what's real and what's not, and understand, you know, and if it, sometimes, you know, I often fall back of the best stories that I've had in success are quite often off the back of the worst stories that I've had, you know, the worst times that we've had. So you've got to accept that, that you've got to get the rough with the smooth as well.
Yeah, definitely. And what advice would you give not to, I know this podcast is mainly for employees,
yeah,
but employers, if they're watching this and they're like, I don't want my employees to feel like that. Yeah. What sort of things can they do within their capabilities to make it an environment where people want to work?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the main thing that I've learned over the years is you can't not over-communicate to your staff. So if you think that something might be up, if you think that they need the business to look out for them, if you think that they need time spent on their mental well-being, if you think it would help them by getting them gym membership with work, if you think that it might help them seeing a nutritionist, anything that could be good, beneficial to them, talk about that with them. Talk and show that you care. Show that you're a person that actually is, you know, that believes in those principles as well. And as a lot of business owners get obsessed with sharing the vision and talking about their company, but they forget that 9 times out of 10, the whole reason that's going to get them to that end goal is their staff, their greatest asset. So you've got to show, be empathetic, and you've got to show that you care.
Yeah, because I feel like people actually do care about the business and care about their employer if they feel cared for.
Yes, completely.
You can't expect them to be as passionate about your dream as you are, yeah, unless you give them a reason to be.
Yeah, it has to be a we mentality that you go into it with. You always have to think about how you can pull the team together.
Definitely. Well, Justin, before we go, I want to know maybe just like a quick summary of things we can do right now. So we've just finished watching this podcast. What should we go ahead and do? Identify the things in our personal lives to sort out first, or do we figure out the way to get to our next level in our positions?
Okay, I think the first thing you should do, rather than set a 2024 plan, why don't you set a Q1 2024 plan and look at what that could be, what you can achieve in the first 3 months. If it's losing weight, if it's getting promoted in work, what's going to get you on that journey? And then start from that point. And then it'll feel a lot more realistic. You'll probably feel a lot better about yourself, and you'll probably actually stick to it.
Justin, thank you so much for being on Well Talk.
Thanks a lot.
And thank you so much for joining us. Make sure to tune into all the episodes, which we are going to be putting out every month.